smell the best show of your life coming over the horizon. There it is, right on schedule. Fantastic. At least if you listen really closely, wait, you can hear Bruce Agler asking, why are you starting 65 seconds late? I was running that station. All right. It is in fact 2 minutes already. 2 minutes and 10 seconds after the hour of 11 of this, the month of September in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. We are live here in the plushly appointed... Thank you, Scotty. Plushly appointed and not overly ostentatious studios by AM970 Solid State Radio, where Scotty J has just informed me by tapping in the screen, quote, it's going to rain today. Thank you.
Where we are or somewhere else?
I thought it was supposed to be the hottest day of the week.
Yeah, probably. It's not going to rain where he is. I thought it was today, and then it went to hell after today.
Yeah, I thought it went downhill on Saturday.
I heard the New Morning Girl and couple that was talking about. You all told me that the Northwest had really bad falls, but it's been really sunny. And then everybody else in the room just sort of snickered because they know what's...
Oh, Alana?
Yeah. She's great.
She's,
but I think she's
really young.
But she's... I guess she's like 10.
Oh, which, she's like 21, I think.
I know. It makes it...
Really young.
Yeah, it really makes me feel very unproductive. But she's from like Albuquerque. I don't even know. In my head, Albuquerque is one of those... Albuquerque looks like the Wile E. Coyote, like the Roadrunner landscape.
Yeah.
Is that what it's like there?
I would think you'd find a Roadrunner there or two.
Well, so often my image of places has nothing to do with the reality of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you think of... never mind. I don't want to talk about it. Always my point. I don't know. I'm all screwed up now. Well, whatever. It's 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be part of today's program, 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email, you can do that as well. You can engage with us electronically. It is rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. All right. We've got this. Just really quickly, before I read anything else, I want to read this email from Rob. Rick, this email says, lately I've had a smile on my face, a spring in my step, a happy glow on my countenance, and I couldn't figure out why. Finally, it dawned on me. Ever since you moved to 11 a.m., I have not listened to one soul-killing moment of Lars Larson. Nothing like losing that sour stomach and barely suppressed rage to make your day a little brighter. Rob. P.S. Nice job keeping Stephanie Miller on till 10. That's one less hour of Al Franken that I will be subjecting myself to. Well, we do. We aim to please, sir. Thank you. No, sir. No. No. No, really. Oh, thank you, sir. All right. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com. Let me read one more. This is from someone who calls himself Viking Dan. It's hard to believe that this station isn't really taken seriously by those in the upper echelons of CBS management. Rick, it would seem, if I heard things correctly at the beginning of your recent programs, that you, Tim, and Sarah have dickered about someone leaving a, quote, sound check CD. I think he means air check CD.
Mm-hmm.
In short, you rid... We would never do this. In short, you ridiculed and chastised the methods to show how the CD, was done. Hopefully this was somewhat... Oh, apparently... Okay, here's what's happened. So this guy, Viking Dan, whoever this may be, dropped off a CD at the front. He wants to make sure that it's not his CD that we're talking about.
No, it is not.
No, it's not, sir. I can guarantee you that it's not your CD we're talking about. He's... Listen, he says, hopefully this was someone else, but if the name Viking Dan was on it, it was probably me. Yes, probably. First, it was meant as a gift. I did get this CD, by the way, Viking Dan. Since it had many parodies and... Here's how I know that this is the CD that I got from you. That doesn't make any sense. Is this the party to whom I'm speaking? It had 3 music sets of the theme songs from Star Blazers. Star Blazers, also known as Space Cruiser Yamato, to our Japanese friends. I do have that because I sat in my office. I'm a huge Star Blazers fan, everybody knows. I sat in my office and I listened to it, and suddenly I was transported back to those magical days of yesteryear when I, a mere slip of a youth, Ovaltine in my hand, would sit in front of the television, subjecting myself to radiation from the cathode rays of the television while watching Derek Wildstar and company in Star Blazers. So, yes, I did get your CD, Viking Dan. And then he goes on to lambaste us, just in case it was his CD we're making fun of. Said, I am one of your many hardworking delivery drivers in the Portland area. I often deliver to your wonderful coin building as well. I hope to hear an apology should this CD be the one and the same. Otherwise, enjoy it and I'll continue here. No.
It is.
No, it was not your CD we were ridiculed. Here's how I know. Here's the thing. Here's the difference, Dan, between the CD that you dropped off at the front desk, which I did enjoy, by the way, and the CD that we were referring to. Here's how we know that it's not yours. Yours had your name on it. It was labeled correctly. Oh, and it was dropped off on the... It was dropped off on a Monday, I believe. As opposed to a Friday when business had already closed. Here's a little word to the wise.
And you didn't ask to see the program director in person. With no appointment.
And you
which
paid.
Would clearly kill a whole chance.
And then hang out in the lobby for about a half an hour. People
and not take
at
no
everyone.
For an answer. If you've been told no at least a half dozen times. The answer is still no.
Will it increase my chances of employment if I quit bathing and stalk you? The answer is no.
Well, I'm just glad I'm not the program director.
I will tell you this. I will tell you that when I took the reins of this radio station, I had talked to one Bruce Agler, who was formerly the program director of this fine show and some others at KFTK, and he did warn me about any number of things and people that would, about the many wicked things that this way would be coming. And he was correct about all of them, by the way. Here's the way, and this is by the way, and this is not the... Not typically our audience that we're speaking of, but I will say that not even really this building, but I have worked at radio stations, and every radio employee knows what I'm talking about, where you can walk through the lobby, and you can just smell when a listener has been there. And I don't mean smell like, sometimes you can smell a good day coming. I mean, you can smell it. I mean, you can smell in the air. Somebody has come in to pick up something. You know what I'm talking about. All right. Frequently, these are classic rock listeners. In any event, it's 503-733-2970. Before we welcome, I'm not going to play the Large Marge delivery sounder. But thank you, Scotty. Can I just tell you this real quickly? Scotty apparently has an exciting new piece of sound that he's created for us today, and he apologized in advance. He created this new song he wants us to play. Scotty J did, There were some tricky...
Have you screened it? Remember the unpleasantness when we didn't screen one of his songs before and it was...
The Snakes on a Plane song? Where it said it had the F-word
like 5 seconds
in? No, not
that one. Was it the Trojan Implosion?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he created some... He apologized in advance, saying that the editing was a little tricky, but that, quote, it was okay because he'd covered the edits with bagpipes.
Yeah!
There you go. That's right, and that's your stairway to heaven, is anything with bagpipes. Before I do anything else, let's talk to, what the hell did we go here? Talk to Carl. Carl, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. I was just wanted to follow up on the American Spirit cigarettes. Not only are they loved by hippies, they're also loved by the R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company, because I was fortunate enough to own R.J.R. for a while when they bought American Spirit.
Well, because they try to foist those American Spirit cigarettes off into people as though there's some indie cigarette. But that's sort of like how... What is that red dog beer or whatever, and it's just made by Budweiser? I mean, it's everything that you think is made by a small... Like, you know, like some guy in a woodshed somewhere.
Mama's cookies.
Yeah, exactly. Mama's cookies and industrial waste disposal process.
Even better is that Lucky Spirit, or the American Spirit, does not have to pay the surtax on cigarettes that all the majors had to pay due to that big settlement. So they buy all these little companies, and the little companies don't have to pay anything.
Here's what I don't understand. We talked about cigarettes yesterday, because in New York, it's one of like 900 cigarette lawsuits that's going on at any point in this country. Here's the thing is, eventually all the smokers will die and we won't be able to talk about these stories anymore. We will have no more grist for the cigarette mill. My thing is this, you know what I would do? I don't understand why Indians don't sell cigarettes. You know what I mean? And here's why I say that. Because I'm not a government official, nor an Indian, to the best of my knowledge. So I don't understand exactly how all these things work, but it's my understanding that Indians can basically do whatever they want, right? I mean, that's why they can run casinos. Because if the white man's law does not apply to them, they can just... I mean, they could have nuclear reactors out there, I think, if they wanted to. So I don't understand why they don't sell cigarettes, because clearly that's where all the money is. That's the first thing I would do if I started... Like, if I bought an island tomorrow, I would just begin... I would own all the cigarette companies. That's where all the cash is.
I think the Indians could sell as many cigarettes as they want, but you couldn't take them off the Reds. You could smoke as many as you want on the Reds for cheap.
Oh, well, it'd be like fireworks then. You could go, but you'd have to... Theoretically, you'd have to... Okay, that makes sense. So they should have a kind of cigarettes that they just sell in the casino.
Free cigarettes.
There you go. See, I like to think of myself as a decent and moral person, but look how easy it is just to push me right over to the dark side. Yes, free cigarettes
free
for the
cigarettes
kids.
With your gambling.
While you're coming to blow the rent money, have a smoke.
Exactly.
Makes that bankruptcy go down a lot smoother. All right, thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
There you go. That's Carl. The views of the Rick Emerson Show represent everyone. All right, let's welcome, where's my, for the love of God, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Let's see if he's alive today, our good friend.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend, mailman Chris, out there on the job. How are you, sir?
Not on the job yet.
You sound fantastic.
I'm on the road to recovery.
Yeah, you sound like our woman at the front, our receptionist, Carol. You got that kind of Lauren Bacall thing going on today.
Yeah.
You feel better?
Yeah, I do, actually, because I got the antibiotics, I got everything going on, man. It's working.
All right, excellent. Yeah, it sounds like you've got a brand new spring in your step today.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I will tell you that, as a side note on that last call, you can buy them on the reservation, and they are very cheap because the Indian reservations don't have to pay the state and federal taxes.
Oh, that's... Now, is it just a regular mainstream brands of cigarettes that they sell there?
Yes.
So they ought to create their own. They ought to create their own brand of cigarette like Kevin Smith did. I'm just saying. You know, here's another thing. I wonder if they still sell those Black Death cigarettes. They need to bring those back. The kids love them. Not kids. It would be wrong to sell cigarettes to children. When I say kids, I mean the young at heart. The people who were young at heart loved Black Death cigarettes. I got a pack of those somewhere at home that I bought because they were taking them off the market, just like they took Black Death vodka off the market for a while. Although I think that's back now. We're not going to sell cigarettes called Pow Wow Puffs, Scotty.
If I was going to make some, I'd just work with Kevin Smith and market the nails.
The nails. That's the smartest thing that guy ever did, was to create his own fictitious brand of cigarettes. All right. Let's see. All right. Here's what we got today. Today, we will endeavor to ascertain how white and nerdy is the Rick Emerson Show. A new exciting quiz will tell us how. Did you take it this morning?
I did.
How white and nerdy are you?
20%.
That's not fair. We'll do it as a collective. We'll find out how white nerdy the entire program is.
Yeah, you're screwed.
I'll really throw up the curse. We will have the Weekend Geek. Our good friend, former Cone employee, now embittered unemployed guy, Dan DeRose, will join us today to talk about all that's going on in the world of media. And we'll have an exciting installment of something you'll soon wish that you could unsee forever. What else? Oh, and today we will get to the vintage Tim Riley scent, which I've been teasing for a while. So there you go. Oh, plus Lisa Goddard and Ed McCarthy will talk about, who's it, Terrell Owens? Tried to dope himself off with a big handful of pain pills?
Yes.
Yes, we'll talk about that. So that's coming up today. There you go.
All right, you said that was Ed McCarthy, right?
Yes, Ed McCarthy. We'll be talking about Terrell Owens today.
All right, Ed McCarthy and Lisa Goddard, the white nerdy kid, the weekend geek, Dan DeRose. Something you wish you could unsee, and vintage Tim Riley.
Yes, that's exactly what we're going to get through today. And there you go.
Any watches?
We have a jock watch. But
we have a jock watch, but we have too much of a show today to really tease anything else.
Do we have, does your big black bag hold exciting vintage watches for us?
Oh, then? I'm sure it does. I could reach in and grab a couple.
Okay. That's exactly the sort of hard work that is the hallmark of the Rick Emerson News Department. Well, I suppose I could reach over and randomly grab at something. All right, so that's what we'll get to.
Excellent. You're at 58 today, so right. I will call you back at 3.
Fantastic. I will talk to you at the end of the program, sir. There you go. That's mailman Chris tracking the items gotten to. I will owe a push-up for each item not achieved by the end of today's show. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented, and hopefully less bloated today, Sarah X. Dillon.
I am. Man.
Here's the thing about you.
Anytime you see me with carrots, just don't let me eat them.
Smack them out of your hand.
Seriously,
carrots are sort of a reverse brand bud with you.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Sort of just a lot of stopping up that happens.
But it got me to thinking that I really want to go back to that hydrotherapy place.
To clean your lower bits?
Yeah, because it did such a good...
The inside of your... the other...
Of your being.
Yes, it's a metaphysical colon cleaning.
Everyone should take care of the colon.
Yeah, be good to your colon, and your colon will be good to you.
Seriously, last time I dropped like 5 pounds. Real good weight loss.
disgusting.
That's what, okay. When I went to the hydrotherapist, she was telling me that celebrities before like the Academy Awards or whatnot will go get hydrotherapy and get all cleaned out and they'll drop some weight. And you're all good to go.
Is that like pushing weight? Is that like what the guys, the drug dealers do?
It's pretty expensive.
Well, I don't know because we didn't pay for it. You always, and it was not, by the way, we should know retrospectively that it was not in any sort of a, there was no consideration given. There's not a plug-ola. Because I think they were actually advertising, weren't they?
They were.
It was back at Entercom. Because you always hear that story that when Elvis died, there was like 80 pounds of stool.
They tell you that when you go in for your...
That can't possibly be true, though.
It's totally true. Don't make me describe
on
why.
The logo.
I don't.
Yeah, I told you before.
Elvis's stool there.
Like your colon, for example, is one size. But like, say you have a hose.
Like garden hose or something.
Or like a fire hose. Or like you're a plumber.
And
that stuff starts to build around. You know, and the water gets harder and harder to travel through. And like, as more stuff builds, the hole gets smaller to which the water goes through.
Are we still talking about plumbing?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I mean actual plumbing, where the hole is getting smaller.
Eventually, you know, if you don't take care of it, it's just going to
stop up,
and you're going to die on the toilet.
Then the hole just vanishes.
Yeah.
And as somebody once said, you just spend a lot of time wandering around the beach wondering why you're getting larger.
I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Here's the thing when you eat carrots, though. Eating carrots and or celery is also like this. Now, I'm a big celery fan, but especially carrots, it's just like eating wood. You know, it really is just like eating little tiny soft springy trees. So it doesn't really, it is there just sort of just go through you and just kind of scurry out. But if you have any sort of digestive problems to begin with, yeah, they just sort of camp out in your colon.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys want to get high?
Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Tim Riley.
I am the father of Anna Nicole's baby, says her lawyer.
Scotty, you know what to do.
Screech does a porno film, Tokyo Rose is dead, and a couple of Oregon stories. A logger is rescued after a log rolls over him, while another man is shot and robbed while tanning for gold.
All right, those plus many other exciting stories. Why are people... All right, hello, Jeff, you're not calling about a hole of any kind, are you?
No, sir.
Thank you. Well, how can I help you today?
The sounder that summons Scotty J to the office, to the booth there.
Yes, sir.
It's very chaotic and annoying. So no. Could you guys do like one of two things?
You say that as though that's somehow surprising, that something Scotty would create is chaotic and makes no sense and goes on and on and grates on your nerves.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
That's the sound you're talking about.
Yes. Is it
chaotic?
To either, can we either get him to...
These are great ideas, Jeff.
Not come into the office or make it different or something. Or something a little less. You know, less is more. Maybe not summon him anymore.
Scotty, we're going to need you to stay at home from now on. We're going to be losing.
If you could just stay at home today,
I find it to be just right. Now, he's made things in the past that were too much. Scotty is screaming. Okay, you can't see this now. You know what we gotta get a Scotty cam, and it won't actually point at him, because who would watch such a thing? But it's gotta point at just the screen, so you can see what he types me during the show. Because he's typing
all the misspellings and whatnot.
Totally, so you can see his sort of unique approach to syntax. He's screaming now, more is better! More is better! Wrong, wrong, wrong!
Less is more. And really, you have some good sounders for, you know, the watches and for different people that come on and such. And the sounder should reflect, you know, the person that is being announced with the sounder. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, just really that sounder, it just makes me think that Scotty is just a really, really messy bedroom.
Okay.
Scotty J is here for our amusement.
Really? And only Mrs. J would know about the bedroom.
There you have it.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. There you go. We should interview Mrs. J.
We should take pictures of Scotty's house. Seriously, I can just see children's toys and, like, laundry and, like, a bunch of beige things everywhere.
We should... We should do the... Scotty's attempting to pick a fight with the caller who just hung up. Scotty, who often tells me that I'm not nice enough to the callers, is now insulting Jeff, who just hung up.
Jeff's a longtime listener.
Yeah. I will not... Jeff probably gets paid. So anyway, we should do the show from Scotty's house one of these days. Attention, engineer. Attention, Ryan Barrett. We're going to be... We're going to be doing the show from Scotty's house.
And his little rug rats might be running around.
That'll ingratiate you to the family. Real quickly, we'll do one more, and then we probably have to break here. Dante, hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to announce that today is a momentous day in the history of rock and roll.
Okay.
Mr. Loaf, or Meatloaf as he's commonly known, is turning 55 today.
Is that true?
My mom just turned 55 on Monday.
He's a member of ARP.
Yeah, is that true? I thought he was older than that.
Okay, totally true story. The master of the Wagnerian Jim Steinman rock and roll that made me tie 14 bandanas around my leg when I was 8 years old and just jam, man. This guy is the greatest thing ever, and he's 55.
Meatloaf,
no complaints from us.
We are all old.
No, we love Meatloaf here on the Rick Emerson Show. Many people don't like it, and those people can eat it, is what they can do. All right, thank you, sir. All right, there you go.
Oh, Meatloaf's the Libra.
He's the same age as your mom.
Same age as my mom.
Does that weird you out?
That's a little strange.
Your mom could be on stage, like at the Gorge, like Rocket. It's like my dad is within a week of being the same age as Alice Cooper. And every time I see Alice Cooper, there's a part of the show where you don't want to, but like in your head, it photoshops it. And it's like it puts my dad's face over Alice Cooper. You know, my dad's head on Alice Cooper's body. It's just weird. It's just a whole weird thing. All right. Well, we got this other stuff, but there's no point. I want to get behind. Coming up, bottom of the hour, our good friend Lisa Goddard will be here. Later on, and I got a big... Well, we got all this gossip to get to and this Screech news. You stay there. We'll begin everything around the corner. It's a Rick Emerson radio program. All right, then. It's a Rick Emerson show. You know, the problem, this Screech story is like a bad penny. I keep trying to put it face down so I don't have to see it or think about it or conjure it up in my head before the time is ready. Every time I go to pick something else up, there it is. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Also, Gary Baumgarten. Dan DeRose will be joining us later on. We have Tom Likas, Donna Mike, et cetera, et cetera. So on and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program from the Hill. Lisa, sometimes I really feel like I'm in a race to meet that crescendo there musically. Lisa Goddard from CNN. Lisa, how you doing, sister?
Oh, good. Been well.
All right, so you have... Scotty J. just passed this along to me in his own breathless fashion.
Yes, I'm hoping for that broadcast news, like, slide under the file drawer type idea.
No, he said that there was exciting breaking news that you were prepared to discuss in gripping detail. Those were his words.
Well, this actually goes back to that conversation we had like a week ago where I said, I'll call in early and let you guys know what's going on.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, but see, it's so funny. He's so on it that I'll say, hey, it's Lisa. He's like, okay. And then he'll just put me on hold and be like, So this week, today I got in there and I think we're good. But what's going on right now in the House and in the Senate, debate on this terror detainee bill. I know your listeners have been hearing about this for the last week, but finally we are starting to hit some pay dirt as far as perhaps some action, perhaps a vote in Congress. Both houses now debating this, and it's a very fiery debate. Just minutes ago also in the House, some protesters shouting out in the House gallery. Hard to hear what they were saying, but I heard some shame, it's a disgrace. Kind of, I think, general anti-Iraq war, anti this detainee.
And this shouting or the sort of heckling is coming from where?
From, you know, there's the balcony that is above
right.
the floor.
Okay. So not from the actual, not from actual elected representatives.
Oh, no.
Which is too bad.
I know it is. I've heard them say some crazy things, though. But, no, this one is actually from some visitor of some sort in the balcony of the gallery.
Some Cindy Sheehan type who's just sort of lurking.
Yeah,
some,
likely.
Some ne'er-do-well. Well, here's a question. So this, and this basically comes down to whether or not there's going to be more stringently followed or more strictly defined policies on how we treat detainees. That's what the bill essentially is.
Yeah, that's right. And one of the biggest parts of the debate right now is over habeas corpus,
right,
which is My bosses would tell me, don't say that on radio, but...
People who listen to the radio are stupid and won't know what you're talking about.
But see, and I know you think most people are stupid in general, but...
Not this audience, no, but that our audience is excluded from that. Our audience is
that's
the 10%.
That's what I thought, exactly. Yes. So, habeas corpus, Latin, it means, bring the body. It's basically this idea of you can bringing a person, a defendant, into court, and it's the right that is in our Constitution that we have... to not be indefinitely detained.
And it also means that they can't try you in absentia. They can't stick you in a hole somewhere and have the trial without you around.
That's exactly right. You have a right to your day in court to face your charges and to have those charges be processed.
You know what? That's just commie talk, Lisa. That's pinko liberalism right there, and I won't have it on this program, this idea that...
It's craziness.
So, here's a question. So what happens, though, if they just... It seems like the Republicans who... There are some exceptions, but who are largely in the president's camp on most things just sort of... just by default. What happens if they just dig their heels and they just dicker and dicker about it and nothing ever happens? I mean, if this whole session ends without them coming to any sort of resolution on the bill, then basically we just go on with things the way they've been, right?
Here's what it looks like, honestly. It looks like this very large bill on detainees is probably going to pass. There are some ways that it could still be blocked, but I think it will probably pass by Saturday. And some Democrats in the House even are signing on, one of them just taking to the floor saying, well, I don't like that habeas corpus is not in here, and I don't like that these detainees are not given these rights, but... maybe we can work that out later.
I don't mean to be sort of a nitpicker, but I mean, by what really is the logic that somebody would have for saying that someone accused of a crime ought to not be allowed to be in the courtroom when his case is being decided? What I really would like to be in the same room as somebody who's trying to make that argument so I can hear what their logic is.
Okay, everyone buckle up, because it does get complicated.
All right.
But basically, what my understanding is that this, my guess, is, I feel pretty educated guess here, is this goes back to this issue of classified information. When you've got a terrorist, you've got an informant who is telling you something about them, and that's your main evidence against this person. In this bill, it sets up a system whereby you really can't use some classified information unless a judge lets you. But in a lot of cases, you might not be able to prosecute a terrorist under a tribunal if all you have is classified information against them.
It does seem to me that if somebody's a terrorist, how do I put this? If you're using classified information in court to try to prove somebody whether somebody's a terrorist or not, if they are a terrorist, then by definition, it seems like they probably already know or have a good guess as to whatever you're going to be using in court. If they're not a terrorist and you're using classified information, it doesn't really seem like there's any harm in using it in front of them.
Well, that is definitely one series of arguments. A lot of people say that, but others say also that terrorists, a lot of the detainees, admit to what we think they did. I don't know if that's true or not, but many people are saying that they don't need evidence against them because they openly admit, yes, I hate you, I want to kill you. But if you do get into this situation, you're right, with this classified information, it gets very sticky. The deal in the bill, as I said, is that you can't use it. If you're not going to show it to the defense, to the suspected terrorist, you can't use it with basically at all unless a judge approves it.
And this whole thing
getting back to habeas corpus, that's the whole point, is they're saying maybe in some cases we won't be able to prosecute at all, so we want to be able to keep these guys detained forever without necessarily bringing them charges because we're worried that classified information could be breached. And that's what you get back to, and that's when you get into this real tricky gray area that a lot of people are worried about.
All right. Well, as long as they're detaining people, I mean, if they're just starting to round people up, you let me know, because I got some guys in my neighborhood that I could... There's this one guy lives across the street from me and plays these Skinner records real loud all night long, and I could use with that guy being in a cell somewhere. So you let me know.
I'll tell you, you better be careful in Portland. I think they may have already rounded some people up there.
Let me just tell you this, and this is a thing I can say because everybody here knows this is true. This is one of those nobody hits my brother but me kind of things. So because I'm in the Northwest, I can say this openly. The Northwest attracts lunatics. Lunatics, freak jobs, nutcases, fruitcakes, they're all here. It's something about, there's some combination of wide open spaces and industrial pollution and radioactive waste that's stored in this part of the country. And so anybody with sort of this place is like bitter, crazed loner central. I don't know what it is. There's a whole bunch of guys in log cabins, you know, or some guy living in a Winnebago marching around in a paper hat with some other guy calling him Führer. It's just a strange place. It really is. Speaking, I do want to ask real quickly about this, because we touched on this the other day, this national intelligence estimate, which is a fancy phrase for report, right? And it's basically said that what everybody suspects, really what anybody with just like a fourth grade education probably suspected, which is by going over and kicking over Iraq, it just became this whole hornet's nest of people who, as you put it very succinctly earlier, hate us and want to kill us. And so they leaked sections of this report that basically said that Iraq was a terrible idea, that it all just makes things worse, and that there are 16 spy agencies that all came to the same assessment. First of all, am I the only one who's a little unnerved by the fact that there are apparently 16 different spy agencies? Exactly. They're spying on us, which the NSA does, and then they're spying on other people, which the CIA does. What do the other 14 do, do you suppose?
There's a bunch of them. I think the FBI has some intelligence capabilities to it, but there's also the defense. Department of Defense has its own intelligence agency, as well as there's a mapping agency, there's satellites, there's a lot of different agencies that have very specific roles.
All right.
But so the defense agency, I know, has at least one. I think they may even have two or three separate intelligence agencies within the Defense Department, but I know for sure there's one. I think there's more than one.
So you got a whole bunch of chunks of this report that they got leaked out, and George Bush has been waving his hands and screaming that it was taken out of context and so forth. My question is always, I mean, look, every time there's a fax that gets sent out from anywhere here at this radio station, there's like four paragraphs of text at the bottom that say that if you show this to anybody that you know, anytime we send out like our current rate card trying to get a client to buy advertising, there's a big thing at the bottom. If you show this to anyone else, we will come and we will kill you. Is it illegal for whoever leaked part of this report to be doing it? I mean, is that a thing where if they find the guy, they stick him in a cage somewhere?
Yeah, leaking classified information is illegal, and that's how we get to this whole Scooter Libby case that's still going on. But so we don't know if the Justice Department is going to bring a case on this leak or not, but who knows?
All right, and then I understand, am I right about this, that there's sections of this report that came out, but then very cleverly the rest of it is going to come out after the election?
You know what, this is basically the bullet points. You know, you've got this big report, I think it's 30 pages altogether, that deals with the evidence, sort of where they're coming from, what we've learned and what they've seen in different parts of the world, not just Iraq. And then what was released was the declassified version of their summary, basically their findings, their conclusions. And that's just barely over 3 pages. So Democrats, of course, say, hey, we want to see everything else, but there's no indication that we will. We'll have to see. But even in those findings, to point out, they did say that Iraq is a problem, but they also pointed to three other things that are problems. So overall, their conclusion, and I don't think this has been reported enough, their conclusion was counterterrorism efforts are working somewhat, but the terrorists are adapting quickly. And overall, even though we have some things going for us in the war on terror, the terrorists right now have more things going for them, and their forecast is that the terrorists, jihadists, as it says, will grow in number in the short future.
Did you hear about that guy? I think he's in Arizona, some used car guy, and he's announcing, I swear to God, this was the story, he's announcing a jihad on high prices.
Oh, no.
It was on, I believe it was on CNN.com this morning, but I can't swear to that. There's some guy, and he's announced, and I swear to God, that's what the story was. He's in the news because it's like, he's, you know, some guy, crazy, just some white guy, and he's just, you know, here, Crazy Bob's, we are announcing a fatwa on high prices and, you know, bad financing. So there you go. So that's the American way to sort of engage with all of this news going on right now.
Make some money.
That is the American way. That's the democracy that we are attempting to bring to the rest of the world right there. All right, Lisa Goddard, enjoy the rest of your day. We will talk to you very soon.
Okay.
All right, go. Thank you. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, right there on the hill. All right, 503. See, and I got all the way through that without asking about her footwear, talking about what her hair looked like today, anything. So right.
I'm usually pretty good about that.
It's 5-0. See, that's what I'm saying. No, Rick Emerson, I think today should be that day that I just refer to myself in the third person. I think maybe I'll do that all next hour. I think perhaps all day today in the noon hour, I will refer to myself in the third person. Maybe I'll do that as some sort of a, some sort, well, you know, just kind of throwing a little, it's not a terrible idea. All right. It's 503-733-2970. So I got this Screech story we'll get to here in a second. Don't let me forget, I want to play that Super Suckers song. In this will end.
Yeah, what prompted you to... I haven't heard that song in a long time.
Because I have it on my... Whatever, not my iPod, but my creative, my jukebox. And it's just... It's one of those things that I've had on there for a while. But it came up the other day. I had it in shuffle mode. Shuffle mode is another thing that were this not this program, were this some tedious science-based Bill Wattenberg-esque program... I have a lot of questions about how shuffle mode works, and here's why I ask that, and I'm not going to dwell on this, because I know that as soon as I start to wade hip-deep into this, suddenly I'm going to be up to my eyeballs and guys calling in with the observations about quantum mechanics and super string theory. But does it seem to you that shuffle mode doesn't really work as such? Have you noticed in shuffle mode that you tend to get the same songs in the same order all the time? Shuffle mode is one of those things that fascinates me, because logically speaking... Really, how can a computer do something randomly? It seems like picking something at random is really a distinctly human concept. That's one of those things that when I die and go to heaven, I'm going to sit there on the bench with God, and he's going to come out and answer all the questions I've ever had about anything. And that's going to be right after Loch Ness Monster and right before Is There Really a Noah's Ark. It's going to be how does shuffle function work on my iPod. The point is...
You wrote it on shuffle?
The point, it's going to be one of those days where I over-answer everything. The point is, I had it on shuffle, and that song came up, I don't know, yesterday, day before, and it just occurred to me, it was just a great song, and it's one of those songs that you know, will never be played anywhere, until we play it, at which point suddenly everybody else will discover it, and they'll think it's a fantastic idea. It's just one of those songs that we kind of have to play because nobody else will. And it's as people always say, it's one of those songs that is a hit. Man, it's just a hit. Even though probably 99% of the audience never heard it, it's just a hit waiting to happen. So
that's pretty. It's been out a while though, hasn't it? A
couple years ago, like 2004, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not like a huge fan of those guys. I'm kind of a casual fan. I have a bunch of songs they've done on like compilations, on like tribute records, and they've done some Willie Nelson covers and stuff in the past. Anyway, so we'll play that. Something that is not a hit waiting to happen is this new sounder from Scotty J, which we listened to. It really does. It really does.
Tim had no words. Tim just walked out silently.
There was really no way to describe it. Let's see. In fact, let's see if he wants to give it some sort of introduction.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Hi, Scotty.
Scotty J, how you doing today?
Good morning.
You're looking bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Hey, so we're going to come do the show at your house one of these days.
That sounds great.
All right.
Where? You're split level in the suburbs.
Just move the piles.
All right. And
you'll be fine.
Is it?
So do you have, like, children's toys everywhere? I kind of picture that.
No, they're older.
I can picture
We're not
your
talking
house.
Tots.
Okay, I can picture
what about
your
a
house
lot of
right
laundry?
Now. Let me just tell you what I picture your house. Look at it. Tell me how close I am. Do you live in where? Beaverton?
Right.
But I mean, what, if you, without being too specific. I don't know how Beaverton is. Are there suburbs? Are there subsections of Beaverton?
I guess you could say that. There's a downtown, obviously.
Because like in Portland, there's the Pearl.
Right.
You know, or there's Southeast, or there's, you know, the West Hills or
yeah.
whatever. Are there different sections of Beaverton? Are there sections of Beaverton that are more tony and desirable than others?
Well, the thing is, when I say Beaverton, it could be like Cedar Hills, Cedar Mills, and they have all these little suburb cities.
You don't
right?
live on a street with a name like Wintergreen,
but
do
it's
you?
Easier just to say Beaverton half the time. All no, right. I don't live on Wintergreen, but there's some streets similar to those kind of names.
Do you live near like a Cherry Brook Lane or like a Rock Rose Avenue or some?
Yeah.
All right. And just of course. All right. Do you live? Let me. I picture you living in a cul-de-sac.
Nope.
Not a cul-de-sac.
I would picture a cul-de-sac too.
That's exactly what I would picture.
Is your house blue?
Nope.
No,
brown?
No, it's a beige. It's like a taupe, like
yes.
a sandstone kind of a color, isn't it? All
yep,
right. I picture you living in a cul-de-sac in a beige house with one of the... How old are your kids?
8 and 12.
Jesus.
Basketball
well,
hoop?
Yes.
Totally. And is it like one of those ones that you got to put sandbags on the back of it?
No, you fill it full of water.
Yeah. All right. And then you have... Let's see. I would guess you live in one of those houses. You walk in the front door, and you are immediately confronted by two staircases. One that goes up, one that goes down.
Oh, well, I told you that.
No, I have no idea.
He told us about a split level yesterday.
Was that? Is that what
you have to take off
is?
Your shoes when you get into the house?
Is there a plastic mat?
There are totally shoes lined up next to the door. I can picture it.
Is that what it? Well, let's stop for a minute. Is that what a split level is? That's one of those things like a ranch house.
Yeah.
I don't know what a ranch house is.
That's all one level.
So I live in a ranch house?
Yes.
So anything that's only one level is a ranch house?
Well, you know, it's usually, you know, rectangular.
It's a gripping conversation for everybody, I'm sure. I didn't really know what a split level was.
Split level is when you walk in, you're in the middle level, and then one goes up, one goes down.
And so the upward staircase, the stairway that goes up, that dumps you right into the kitchen, doesn't it?
No, I would picture the kitchen being straight ahead, and upstairs are the bedrooms, and then downstairs is like the play area.
That's good. Did I tell you that?
No.
Okay,
that's
pretty
good.
All of us,
I grew up in split-level houses my whole life. That's how it was.
All of those homes are the same.
The only play area is my media area.
Do you have a rec room?
No. But
do you have a ping-pong table?
Nope.
All right. Do you have a pair of skis hanging in the garage?
Yes.
Yeah, of course you do. All right. I don't even know why I brought you in.
Sounder.
This sounder. So would you like to explain the genesis of this sounder that we're going to play here?
Well, hopefully it'll motivate some listeners to make a montage of, or take a montage in a new direction.
Okay.
I'll admit my editing in this thing was slapped together, and it's raw. It's like the first take, so it could probably use a little bit of work.
All right, and so you have covered the edits with bagpipes. Let me ask you this before we play this, because the listeners have expressed they haven't really ever put together why you use bagpipes so frequently. Is that like your go-to production piece?
No, I think like a month or two back, something was telling me in my mind.
A small, still voice inside.
Okay. You got to put bagpipes in this, and now it's a good cover-up, because if there's any, you know...
Because they're really, because they're low-key. Nobody can ever spot them, because the bagpipes blend in very well.
Right, and if you have a choppy edit, then the bagpipe will just cover it.
Okay. All right, so this, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here's the, this is the new piece from Scotty J. This is, direct. 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 Direct, direct, direct.
That's Caller John.
God.
That's fantastic.
Caller John's laugh.
The concept is really
good. I know, it needs a little smoothing.
No, do you suppose?
The conking at the end,
that's
that was
like,
rough.
That's like saying that Edward James almost needs a little smoothing.
He said it was take one.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Scotty.
Later, you're welcome.
Scotty,
is that a velour shirt you're wearing?
Nylon.
Oh, okay, just checking. Thank you very much. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Scotty J. All right. So,
we should break.
Okay, well, do we have time? Well, should we play the song and break? We'll do this screech thing in the news hour?
Yeah. We need to pay that sometime.
All right, let me bring up the song here, and we'll take a break. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. From their exciting album, Mother Effers. Be trippin'. This is the Super Suckers right here on the Rick Emerson radio program. The AM 970 Noon News Hour is next. Don't go anywhere.
She's got a man on the side. Yeah, she's with him today. And I probably won't die. But it sure feels that way. And I used to be strong. I used to be tough. And she used to be pretty. But now she's just pretty f***ed up. Oh, pretty f***ed up. Yeah, pretty f***ed up now. Oh, she used to be pretty. But now she's just pretty f***ed up. Now I know people change.